I haven't got a message so much to preach. What I've got, what I want, to, I feel to do is just some, unfold some things out of the first chapter of Colossians. And the book of Colossians is a phenomenal letter. Paul's in prison. He's in prison for the gospel. He's penning this letter, which is a high-level revelation of Jesus, of who we are in Him, of our completeness in Him, who we are as the body of Christ, how to resist the temptations of the dilution of the gospel, which was going on rampantly in his time, because various people were rising up and mixing the old covenant understanding, old covenant practice rather, of keeping this, keeping that, keeping this Sabbath, that Sabbath, this new moon, all the various dietary laws, all these sorts of things that were really a shadow of what was to come, and the fullness of what was to come is in Christ. And mixing that up with bits of Christianity, then there was humanism, which is basically the reliance on self and self-improvement and all that sort of stuff, and Gnostic philosophies and various philosophies of the time getting mixed up with bits of the gospel and were leading people astray. A number of these philosophies were basically disempowering the gospel into something that was just ended up being a philosophy or just an idea that people could live by, and stripping of its power. Now, there's a lot of that around now. It's in all sorts of groups and religions and denominations and all sorts of things. But we don't want to be getting seduced into things and ideas and mixtures that take the strength out of the gospel, because what that means is that we don't gain the strength and the benefit of the gospel that Jesus intended. And not only that, he gets robbed of his glory in that sense, and then we just live a life where we're just trying to be good or trying to keep principles or just doing things out of tradition, and it robs the gospel of its true power. See, Christianity is not a religion. Religion is human-made, and religion is about self-effort to try and either gain favor or merit or approval or gain something where God somehow, we attain relationship, where we'll retain something from God, rather than the gospel, which is all about God coming to us, which is about the goodness of God being manifest, God revealing himself to us, and him doing the thing that only he could do that would liberate us into being his sons and daughters. Christianity is not actually a religion. Once you make it a religion, you disempower it. Christianity is Christ in us, the hope of glory. True Christianity is simply opening your heart to the one who came and died for us and rose again for us, opening our hearts to him, receiving him as our Lord and Savior, and being the center and supreme one of our lives, putting our trust in his word, and then letting his word do the work in us. It's about relationship, it's about intimacy, it's about connection with him, so that he fills us with himself rather than us trying to get something to fill us. I don't really identify with the song saying, "I'm desperate for you." I actually don't identify with those sort of songs much anymore. What I am focusing on is learning more about Christ in us and us in Christ. Because we've actually received so much already that if we would just journey in the discovery of that and what that really means, you come to the place where you realize you're a walking temple of God and you're a walking habitation for Christ. Therefore, what manifests out of your life is very different to where you think you are impoverished, spiritually impoverished, and somehow you just need one more touch from God, then you'll be able to really do something or achieve something or be something. I'm challenging some thinking patterns. You see, Paul came to this realization. See, well, he didn't come to the realization, the Holy Ghost revealed it to him. He's in prison. There's nothing about his environment that is comforting. There's nothing about his environment, about the prison, about the captivity, there's nothing about that in itself that he would draw strength from or draw a hope for the future from. Everything that in that environment, in that prison environment, that Paul is accessing is the knowledge of Christ in him. Because Paul has come to the understanding, it's not about trying to attain God or trying to attain favor with God or trying to attain the blessing of God. It's journeying and understanding of what he's already received. And the mystery of Christ within us is the mystery that was hidden for generations, and it's now been revealed to the generations who can come into the gospel. We are walking, if you're in Christ, you're a walking, living, breathing temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not somebody who so much comes in and out of the presence of God. You are somebody who carries the presence of God. Now, do we come into dimensions of manifestation of his power? Yes, we do. There's sometimes we can get together in prayer gatherings or whatever it is, just twos or threes, people just getting together, and suddenly there's a dimension of the Holy Ghost comes upon, and it's absolutely awesome. It can be life-changing. It's just the revelation of all sorts of amazing things. That's. But when we walk in our daily life, when we get up in the morning, when we go to sleep at night, when we go to the mall, when we, wherever we go, and we're conscious of the fact that we're a temple of the Holy Ghost, that we literally carry the presence of the Creator of the universe, that shifts your thinking into what are the possibilities for today? What are the possibilities for now? What are the possibilities for the miraculous? What are the possibilities for healing, deliverance? What are the possibilities for encounter? Rather than impoverished idea that I've always got to somehow seek to get to be, it's the sense that Christ has come and Christ dwells in me. We're going to open up Colossians. Now, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. What I generally do with the Passion is I like to read it in conjunction with the New King James, my personal choice, New King James. You may have New International or American Standard or whatever you want. For me, I like New King James. And then I read it, especially the epistles, I read it in New King James and I read it in the Passion Translation, and I look at how they relate. Whether I feel this is kind of faithful to what we consider the mainstream translations, or whether it just opens up understanding and puts the language in such a way that's more understandable. For me, I really enjoy the epistles. I really enjoy Romans and the Passion Translation. Some of the other books, not so much, but those especially. So I'm using Colossians and the Passion today because I think the way Dr. Simmons structures the sentences brings such beautiful clarity. So we're going to read from verse 3. Father, we thank you that as the word opens up today, I pray that people would leave this place with a deeper understanding of the majesty and the glory of what it is that you have actually inhabited us, and the treasures of redemption that already actually reside. And so, Father, we thank you today that eyes of the understanding would be opened, that the understanding would be gained through the Holy Ghost. Anything that's just my opinion, let it fall away. Let it not stick. Everything that's of you, let it stick strongly. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, as we give today, Lord, as we just give and of our tithe or our offerings, whatever the case may be, we just give in faith and gratitude and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Every time I pray for you, our hearts overflow with thanksgiving to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your devoted lives of faith in Christ Jesus and your tender love toward all the holy believers. Your faith and love rise within you as you access all the treasures of your inheritance stored up in the heavenly realms. For the revelation of the true gospel is as real today as when you first heard it of our glorious hope. Now that you have believed the truth of the gospel. Verse 6, this is the wonderful message that is being spread everywhere, powerfully changing hearts throughout the earth, just like it has changed you. Every believer of this good news bears the fruit of eternal life as they experience the reality of God's grace. Every believer of this good news bears the fruit of eternal life. Wow. As they experience the reality of God's grace. Verse 7 is just a little bit of chat to the people about Epaphras, the guy who planted the church in Colossae. Just a little bit of chat about this, but it was worth reading. Verse 7, our beloved co-worker Epaphras was there from the beginning to thoroughly teach you the astonishing revelation of the gospel. And he serves you faithfully as Christ's representative. He informed us of the many wonderful ways love is being demonstrated through your lives by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I would love that to be reported of us. I would love that to be reported of us. You hear what I'm saying? One of the marks of true believers, one of the marks of maturity in a body of believers is the manifestation of love for one another, is the tenderness of heart one toward another. That's a measuring point of spiritual maturity. Whenever you go into a company of people and over time you come to realize that the tone of that place or the tone of that house, it's criticism, backbiting, gossip, ungodly criticism, you know that that body of believers is a long way from spiritual maturity. A long way from spiritual maturity. And yet that culture has been formed here and there. It's a sad situation. But I want us to be known for the tender love that's amongst us. Amen. Since we first heard about you, we've kept you always in our prayer that you would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure. Sorry, I'll read that again. It's an old radio program. Since we first heard about you, we've kept you in our prayers that you would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over your life. Sorry, you need to read it right, otherwise it doesn't mean what it means. Paul prayed that we would understand and grasp the pleasure God has over our lives. Let's let that sit. Paul prayed, because this letter to the Colossians was not just to the Colossians, it's for every believer. You know that. For every believer everywhere. And his prayer is, since we first heard about you, we've kept you always in a prayer that you would receive the perfect knowledge, the mature knowledge of God's pleasure over your lives, making you reservoirs of every kind of wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow. Making you a reservoir. That's my French. When I first saw the word rendezvous, when I was a young man, I said to Janet, rendezvous. Rendezvous. You know. She said, no, it's French. Something like that. Rendezvous. Anyway, there we are. So, to be a reservoir of Christ, think about that. To be a reservoir of spiritual wisdom. A reservoir. What's a reservoir? Well, a reservoir is a place that's been built for storage of water. A water reservoir or an irrigation reservoir is being deliberately shaped, deliberately fashioned out of the ground, deliberately lined with special clays or whatever. I think they use a special kind of clay. Sometimes plastic, whatever. And it's deliberately built to hold water so that water can then irrigate whatever it's got to irrigate. So God has actually deliberately fashioned your life and come to you and put a spirit in you to make you a reservoir. See, the body of Christ is not just a body that's hungry for God, although we do have seasons where we get hungry. I admit that, because things happen, we realize we just need a greater sense of breakthrough or touch or revelation or understanding. Not that God has taken away from us what he's given, it's just that it sometimes gets clouded with the things we walk through and the things that we contend with in life and the distractions of the heart and so on. And it's like we kind of lose connection with it in the sense of our soul. But then a bit of refocusing or a bit of re-encounter or a bit of revelation in the Word again that just opens things up, refreshes our soul, and we just reconnect with what Christ has put in us. And what Christ has put in you, if you're in Christ, he's put in you a reservoir. How would it be that if the farm down the road, maybe at the Dan's property, I don't know if they've got a reservoir or not. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But a property with a reservoir, but this reservoir had a mind of its own. And the farmer or the orchardist comes along and he sees the reservoir and he connects the big pipe into the reservoir to start pumping water out of it. But this reservoir's got a mind of its own. And this reservoir said, "What are you doing? I've got nothing to give. I've got nothing in me. I've got nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing." I mean, it's a strange sounding analogy, but the farmer made that reservoir. He knows what he put in the reservoir. He put water in the reservoir. And now he's going to draw out some of that water and irrigate some apricots or irrigate some land, irrigate some crops. Because he made the reservoir. He made the reservoir to carry what he wanted to put in it. God has made you a reservoir. And even though Paul is in this prison situation, and there's nothing about the prison situation that would give him comfort in that sense, he's of the understanding that in God, in Christ, he's a reservoir of spiritual wisdom, of spiritual grace, spiritual power, and spiritual wisdom. And all of the comfort he needs for the hope for the future, for the hope for eternal life, for the communion with his Father is all within him because Christ has placed it with him. Because even in that prison situation, he's got the realization he's a reservoir. When you go past that witchy poo shop or the New Age shop, that one that troubles you, next time go closer and think, "I'm a reservoir. I'm going to frighten the hell out of these devils." I'll tell you why. Because you've been delivered out of the dominion of that stuff. And you've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love, and you've been made a reservoir of all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So it makes you very dangerous. It makes you very dangerous to the realm of darkness. Those spirits get very agitated. I told you the story of one of the flights back from South Africa. You know what it's like. You go onto a big plane, you know, to do a long haul flight. And you're really hoping that the seat next to you is going to be empty. Well, on this flight, there was no empty seat. It was a pretty full flight. And with Janet and I sitting in the seat, I think she might be in the aisle, I might be in the middle, I think. Somehow you got the aisle seat. And then there was another seat next to me, and I'm sitting there, and it looked like the last people were coming on. You ever had these thoughts? The last people are coming on and think, and the guy comes down the aisle and he's looking into your row. And you think, oh. And I looked at this guy and I thought, this guy is right into New Age. Anyway, we get out, let him in. I said, "Where are you from?" He said, I'm from heaven via Cape Cod. And I'm thinking, Okay. What gives you? What gives you the understanding that you believe you're from heaven? Is what I'm thinking. And I said, what were you doing? He said, we were in such and such a place. I can't remember if it was Northern Zimbabwe. I can't remember the country now. We were at the Rainbow Convention or some convention like this. And it was to do with an eclipse and so on. So there was a bunch of things that came together. They thought they were going to gain spiritual insight and spiritual power out of and connect with some spiritual portals and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, okay, I've got to sit for the next 14 hours with this guy all the way to Melbourne. So I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to anoint him out. And I'm thinking, there's stuff emanating off him. I'm thinking, but there's stuff emanating off me. And I'm sitting there thinking, just in Jesus' name, I just release your presence right now. I just release your anointing right now. Just release your presence, you know. Anyway, I had a sleep. And then I woke up partway through and he had his hand on my head. He was up to the same thing, you see. He had his hand on my head like this. I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, you remind me of my brother. So I got a book out by Jonathan, can't remember the last guy's name, Apostolic Strategies Affecting Nations. That was the name of the book. What a great title. Never read it, but it was a great title. I read part of it. I put that on my little table, and he looks at it. He goes, are you a preacher? I said, yes. Oh. But, you know, I could sit there feeling intimidated because this guy was into the occult. But I'm not going to be intimidated because somebody sitting next to me is into the occult. Because I'm a reservoir of spiritual treasure. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's not me that's worried. I could have done a better job of trying to share the gospel with them and so on, but I just didn't want to talk to anybody. Anybody ever had that on a flight, you know? We'd spent ourselves in Zimbabwe and I just wanted peace. Anyway, a bit of fun. So, let's move along. This clock is counting down. So, what verse were we up to? Nine. There we are. Number 10. We pray that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness, pleasing God in every good work you do. Then you'll become fruit-bearing branches, yielding to his life, and maturing in the rich experience of knowing God in his fullness. And we pray that you would be energized with all his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. Then verse 12, I want to play with this for a little bit because there's some things in here that I think could be really helpful. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude. Turn to the person next to you and say this. Your heart can soar with joyful gratitude. Let's say it again. Your heart can soar with joyful gratitude. If we just left it at that, you would say, well, why? But here's the why. And it's the second part that comes forth that creates the first bit we read. So I'm just going to reverse it. When you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light, your hearts will soar with joyful gratitude. Let me read that again. Because it's an okay thing to do. It's just the way the statements are written. One is because of the other, but we're going to put because of the other first and then the result of that. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you think of how God made you worthy, when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light, if you're living in the light, you've received a glorious inheritance. when you're living in the light, who is the light? Jesus is the light. How do we live in the light? First, we acknowledge the light. We open our hearts to the light. We open our minds to the light. We repent of darkness and align with light. We're living in the light. We're loving one another and we're living in the light. We're living in the light of Christ. When we live in the light and we've received that by gift, not because we were worthy to receive it, we received it and He made us worthy. When you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude. See, the thinking, what we're thinking of, we're thinking of the fact that I've been thinking of the fact that it's not by my effort, by my cunning, by my cleverness, by whatever the case may be, by my hard work, that I've somehow attained something in God that then I can be happy about. No, it's the reverse. That's why Christianity is not a religion. Religion is based on self-effort. When I think of how God has made us worthy, when I think of how God has made me worthy to receive an inheritance by living in the light, my heart can be filled with joy. And the joy isn't always in raucous laughing on the floor, rolling around. Joy is also that strength within that just sort of just is in there. And that joy, it's hard to describe all of the aspects of joy. Because some people can read, well, if you had the joy of the Lord, you'll always be smiling. Well, there's some things that you can't smile at because they're very difficult things, and the things you have to journey and process and help people with or deal with yourself, but the joy inside hasn't left. You hear what I'm saying? And there's other times when it just overflows and there's laughter and there's hilarity and there's drunkenness and the Holy Ghost and whatever the case may be. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In the presence of the Lord there is joy forevermore. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude. They're realizing now more and more that a person with deep gratitude has got huge advantages in life. It manifests in your health, it manifests in your mental well-being, it manifests in your relationships, it manifests in how you see the future, it manifests with how you cope with difficulties. A person who's got a deep sense of gratitude and thankfulness, their heart has a feast. Well, the true source of deep gratitude is the gospel. The true source of deep gratitude is the knowledge of the love of God for us as revealed through Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and who He is. That deep gratitude. If you try not to believe in God and you're trying to be an atheist, some people have convinced themselves they're an atheist, but I think most people just try because they don't like their concept of the alternative. But it's often their concept's wrong. It's been misguided, misshaped. If they really knew the goodness of God and how wonderful He is, they wouldn't be trying to ignore Him. But oftentimes He's been misrepresented. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of His beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are cancelled and we have the release of redemption through His very blood. The most powerful, eternity-shaping, eternity-securing provision of God is the blood of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who is Jesus, who took away the sin of the world. So every time somebody opens their life to Christ, that provision released through that blood is applied to them. And the blood is something that Satan cannot mess with. Because the blood is the seal of God's legal, eternal covenant that's been sown into the earth. And God has established forever the eternally legal basis for his provision for people who will come to him, and it's the power of the blood of Jesus. Your revelation of the blood of Jesus is one of the most powerful things in your life. The revelation of the blood of Christ that has dealt with your sin and has translated you. Another translation says, conveyed you. And it's translated you out of this. See, the word translation in this context is to move something that's in this realm or in this place or in this locality or in this dominion and move it out of there and bring it over to here into a different place, a different geographical location, or a different realm. And so through the blood of Christ and what he's done for us, he has translated us. He's conveyed us. We couldn't do it ourselves. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. No effort, no ceremony, nothing we could do could possibly lift ourselves up and bring us over and plonk us in the realm of his kingdom. Nothing we could do. The grace of God, the power of his blood, he has picked us up and transferred us, translated us, conveyed us into the realm of his kingdom and the son of his love. The tyrannical rule of that dark realm to own us, possess us, control us, have legal claim to us has been smashed by the power of his blood, and we've been translated out of that realm and brought into the realm of the son of his kingdom. I want to tell you, coming into 2026, I think it would be really helpful if we come into 2026 and journey through 2026 with the expectation of miracles, of healings, of deliverance, of the manifestation of the kingdom, because we've been translated out of that realm and we've been translated into this realm of the kingdom of God. I don't live with a perpetual fear of attack. Attack happens. We're at war. What a useless enemy if he doesn't try to attack you. He's not serving any purpose at all. Attacks help you grow. Attacks help you dig in and realize what you've actually got to push back on it. Without some attacks every now and then, you've got nothing to exercise against. But I don't live in the fear of attack. I don't live in the expectation that I'm under this rule and always subject to attack. I'm living in this realm, which is the kingdom of God realm, and I have the expectation of miracles. I have the expectation of healings. I have the expectation of blessing. I have the expectation of breakthrough. I have the expectation of provision, because I'm not living under that realm. I'm living under the realm of God. Now, am I taking God for granted? Absolutely not. But it's to do. You see, Paul was in prison with a bulky, muscly Roman guard probably chained to him, maybe sometimes. They were very practiced guys. They were skilled guys. And it wasn't like, hey, he's in prison writing this. So his natural circumstance wasn't telling him this. It was the Holy Ghost that had revealed it to him. Even though he was in prison, even though he might have been chained up at times, even though ever the threats may have appeared to have been, he knew that he was a spiritual reservoir of all spiritual wisdom and revelation. He knew that he was a temple of the Holy Ghost. He knew that he had the treasures of redemption dwelling within, and he knew that he'd been translated out of the rulership of that dominion, and he was now in a different dominion. Even though he was in prison, the dominion was in him, and that dominion was not ultimately going to have him. The kingdom of God would have him, and the day of his departure from this world would be when God said, not when some Roman soldier or some Roman guy said. These are mind shifts. These are concepts and understandings that will cause you to walk differently in life. Because we're not people of fear, we're people of faith. And what does that mean? Do we have a fear base in our life? Or are we faith-based? Do we have an expectation of God moving? Do we have an expectation of the presence of God? This year, I believe we're going to be starting our build. I mean, turning the ground. I believe that. I feel very settled in that. And later this year, we need miracles of provision. I'm expecting them. I've got a figure inside. I'm expecting. And it's not because we've tried to come up with a plan and get God to rubber stamp it, because in 96, he invaded our home on Monday night on our day off, having just had my brother and sister-in-law with us from Kaikoura, and we get invaded by the Holy Ghost. And Janice spends the next 2.5 to 3 hours on the floor, and I'm trying to write down what she's seeing. She can't see me. She can't see the lounge. She can't see anything. She knows I'm there somewhere. She's trying to communicate to me what she's seeing, and I write down and take the notes of this profound set of visions she starts to have. The intensity of that Holy Ghost visitation or angelic visitation, however you want it, language you want to put on it, lasted for about 3.5 to 4 days. And there was various things that happened in that were really intense and incredibly revealing. And that was in 96. That's when God showed us this building. God showed us the piece of land. God showed us growth in this area. God showed us the motorway. God showed us, this is in 1996. Horsall was about 6,000? Now the fastest growing area. I think it's the fastest growing area in the whole Christchurch area. In fact, Horsall is the biggest suburban area on its own out of all of the areas in Christchurch. And so we're not trying to run with our idea to get God to bless. We're endeavoring to walk with what heaven released to us. And if heaven released to us, if Jesus released it to us, then we can expect the provision for it when it's time to do it. Now, Janet didn't really have any idea of the kind of time frames that would go by, and often prophets sometimes don't necessarily have idea. Because in the vision, she saw the building and the big eagle over the land and the land where it is and all that sort of thing. And then when that eagle lifted up a bit, other eaglets flew out into other nations and cities. Then this building, she could see this building. She went into the building with Jesus, and I lost a train of thought there for a minute. Around the area, there were new subdivisions, new roads. There were two-story buildings next to us, which is now, of course, Ryman Healthcare. All these things, it was all green grass. You've got to remember, all green belt. So I said to Janet, to me, all these things that have to happen indicates a fair amount of time. Motorways, subdivisions, new buildings, new bus route systems, four-lane road. All that indicates time. Well, it was 7 years to the day that we ended up going unconditional with the Catholic Property Board and the council to buy that piece of land that Janet stood on in the vision. Now, you may not think that's any big deal. During that 6 years, we had all sorts of emotional and mental process. Because after 5.5 to 6 years, we're going, when is this going to happen? After being refused to be able to buy the land, all that sort of thing, when is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? remember having a talk with Grant in the office. We were talking, and it's kind of like we felt like we'd done everything that we could do, what was to be done. I mean, it wasn't for sale. And the conclusion was that, well, God has to move. Felt like 5 to midnight, and midnight, you know, it's kind of like the big strike of the dong of the clock, and time would run out at midnight. That's kind of the sense, you know, and we're 5 to midnight. And the conclusion was, God, we can't do anything more. God has to move. And God moved. God absolutely moved. And so, while it's been a lot of time involved, there are timings in God that he either prepares you for because you sense that, or there's just a suddenly where things just open up. So I have an expectation of significant financial miracles. And people ask me, where's the money coming from? Well, if you know, tell me. People have already been incredibly generous. Very, very generous. And there's been significant gifts given in over the last several months. Just tremendous. I think we're at 1.1 something million in the building fund. We need a bit more than that. But I'm convinced by the end of this year we'll be definitely turning ground. And so I'm sort of in my heart gearing up for that. We've got a bit of work to do with the cleanup of the tent area yet and that sort of thing. And we've got to fix up the little tent for the next several months and got to do that work by the end of February, I think. So your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. You are a translated person. If you're in Christ, you're a translated person. For in the Son, all our sins are cancelled and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. Verse 15, here's the divine portrait. The true likeness of the invisible God. Kids, if you ever get confused about what God is like, just look at what Jesus did, who he is, and what he did for people, and how he ministered to people. That's how you tell. That's how you tell who God is and what God is like. He is the likeness of the invisible God and the firstborn heir of all creation. In other words, he has a special position and he has a special level of inheritance. For in him was created the universe of things. I love the way he puts that. Both in the heavenly realm and on the earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, every realm of government, every principality and authority, it all exists through him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him. He is the head of his body, which is the church, and since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God. Wow. I'm telling you. In Christ, now, there's nothing between you and Father God. I'm telling you. Now that you're in Christ, there's nothing between you and your Heavenly Father. There's no old sin. There's no old reputation. There's no old scar. There's no old condemnation. There's no old sense of guilt. All that has been put away in Christ. Now there is nothing between you and your Heavenly Father. That's why we come boldly to the throne of grace. Not in fear and trepidation that we're going to be rejected or condemned, because Christ was condemned for us. Nothing between you and your Heavenly Father. If you're not in Christ, that's not the case. If you're not in Christ, you need to come to Christ so that then all that He did for you is applied to you, and then you can claim this for yourself. You can have that opportunity. Let's finish up on this. And hopefully, has it cooled a little bit? You're not as many fanning, or have you just gotten so tired you've given up? He is the head of the body, which is the church. Oh, we've read all that. Even though you were once distant, I've read all that. Brought you back to Himself. He released His supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of His own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in His presence. My friend, if you are trying to pay for old sin, stop. Bit of wind out there. If you're trying to pay for old sin, stop. It's been paid for. Release yourself. And now there is nothing between you and your Father, for He sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Oh my goodness, that takes some meditating. That takes some pondering. If indeed you continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed. And in this, and this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. Let's all stand. This is the glorious news, Paul says, that I preach all over the world. You know, you want to know what Paul preached when he went into different towns and cities? Fundamentally that. That's what he preached. That body of understanding. So it's got to be preached now. If it was preached at the start, it's got to be preached at the end. Just in closing, lift our hands to the Lord. Father, today, I thank You for these treasures in this room. These people who you have redeemed. And ones who are about to be redeemed. Lord, I thank You for the people whom the Holy Spirit has come to and revealed their condition, revealed their need, revealed Yourself, and You've drawn us to Yourself. Lord, I thank You that You've made us reservoirs of spiritual wisdom and understanding, of the treasures of redemption. Lord, I thank You by Your work and Your work alone, You've made us worthy to be included in Your great family. Jesus, I thank You that You didn't just cover our sin like an Old Testament lamb, but You're the new covenant lamb who's taken away the sin of the world. Lord, I thank You that You've broken the tyranny of darkness and You've translated us out of that old dominion and You've brought us into the dominion of Your Son. Jesus, thank you for your kindness. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest on every person. Let them come into greater and greater revelation and understanding of the majesty of your kindness and the majesty of your working in us and for us and through us. Lord, I thank you. It's because of your great work that we can do the works of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of your great love for us, that we can walk with a clear conscience, renewed in fellowship to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. If there's anybody who's never, you've never received Christ into your life, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, if that's you, put up your hand. I want to pray with you, because today is the day of salvation. If there's anybody here, you have never received Christ, put up your hand. There's a lot of people here, I don't know, I've never met, I wouldn't know where you're at in the Lord. I want to give you that opportunity to receive Christ today. God bless you over here. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else you want to receive Christ today? Is that you down the back? Is that you just got your hands lifted to the Lord, or you in the gate? Okay. Is there anybody else you want to receive Christ today? Anybody else? God bless you, sir. I see you over on my left, your right. Would it be right if you just come up here and we'll just get a few people to gather around you, and we'll all love to just lead you in prayer. And that, would that be okay? Just come on up. Bring your friend or your partner or wife or whatever that may be as well if you want. Feel free to come with them if you like. No, it's okay. You okay to come with them? Okay. What's your name?
Dennis.
Dennis Robin. Pleased to meet you, Dennis.
He met Heather yesterday.
And what happened yesterday with Heather? Briefly.
Clear directions on coming here today, but I'm appreciating that there's a God that's there to help me through the situation.
Okay. So you've got a bit of a situation. You've got a situation, and you're really looking to the Lord to help you through it.
Yes.
Are you receiving Christ today?
Well and truly, loud and clear.
Well and truly, loud and clear. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, how about you stretch your hands, everybody? Stretch out your hands. How do I pronounce your name?
Dennis Rollins.
Sorry?
Dennis.
Dennis. Okay. Stretch out your hands to Dennis. Dennis, we're going to pray. Is that all right? Yes. Would it be all right if you follow me in prayer?
Yes.
That okay? Can I take your hand?
Okay.
And is this your wife?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You always be, got to be careful.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name?
Sue.
Yeah. Okay. Father, for Dennis and for Sue. Father, today I just thank you for him right now. How about you pray with me, Dennis?
Yes.
Father,
I stand here today.
And I've opened my heart to you. And you've revealed yourself to me. And my need for you. You know what I need. You know the help I need. Lord, I'm inviting you into my life.
Lord, I'm inviting you into my heart.
To be my Lord and Savior.
And my Lord and Savior.
Father, I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to
of all of my sin.
Of all my sin.
I thank you for your cleansing power.
And I thank you for your cleansing power.
I believe that Jesus is your Son.
That Jesus is your Son.
That even though he was crucified, he was raised from the dead
on the third day.
And he lives forevermore. And he's coming again.
Jesus,
come into my life.
Make me your home.
As you are my home. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now fill me with your Spirit. Fill me. With the Holy Spirit. Give me strength.
Give me your power.
That I may live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. My pleasure. Could you come on up and
bless him, Lord.
Wayne, could you come up and just talk with the bureau? There's Wayne Curran, really good man.
Hi, okay. Wayne.
And he's going to just talk with you and help you a little bit more. Isn't that wonderful? Let's give the Lord a clap. Father, we thank you now, Lord, as we just leave this place. Lord, I thank you for the light of your countenance, your grace, and your heart toward every person. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for being here.